Outside, Greys awaited them.
"But what in the name of all gods possessed you to take such a stand? Stupid, ne?"
Yabu stormed at her. "So sorry," Mariko said, hiding the true reason, wishing Yabu would leave her in peace, furious at his foul manners. "It just happened, sire. One moment it was a birthday celebration, and then... I don't know. Please excuse me, Yabu-sama. Please excuse me, Anjin-san."
Again Blackthorn began to say something, but once more Yabu overrode him, and he leaned back against the window post, completely aggravated, his head throbbing from the effort of trying to understand.
"So sorry, Yabu-sama," Mariko said, and thought, how tiresome men are. They need everything explained in such detail. They can't even see their hairs on their own eyelids.
"You've started a storm that'll swallow us all. Stupid, ne?"
"Yes, but it's not right we should be locked up. And Lord Torinaga did give me orders that..."
"Those orders are mad. Devils must have taken possession of his head. You'll have to apologize and back down. Now security's going to be tighter than a gnat's arsehole. Ishido will certainly cancel our permits to leave, and you've ruined everything."
He looked across at Blackthorn.
"Now what do we do?"
"Please?"
The three of them had just arrived in the main reception room of Mariko's house, that was within the outermost ring of fortifications. Greys had escorted them there, and many more than usual were now stationed outside her gate. Kiri and the Lady Sazuko had gone to their own quarters with another honor guard of Greys, and Mariko had promised to join them after her meeting with Kiyama.
"But the guards won't let you, Mariko-san,"
Sazuko had said, distraught. "Don't worry," she had said. "Nothing's changed. Inside the castle we can move freely, though with escorts."
"They'll stop you. Oh, why did you?"
"Mariko-san's right, child,"
Kiri had said, unafraid.
"Nothing's changed. We'll see you soon, Mariko-chan."
Then Kiri had led the way inside their castle wing, and Browns had closed the fortified gate, and Mariko had breathed again and come to her own house with Yabu and Blackthorn. Now she was remembering how, when she was standing there alone, carrying the banner alone, she had seen Blackthorn's right hand readying the throwing knife, and she had become stronger because of it.
"Yes, Anjin-san," she thought. "You're the only one I knew I could count on. You were there when I needed you."
Her eyes went to Yabu, who sat cross-legged opposite her, grinding his teeth. That Yabu had taken a public stand in her support by following her out had surprised her. Because of his support, and because losing her own temper with him would achieve nothing, she dismissed his truculent insolence and began to play him.
"Please excuse my stupidity, Yabu-sama," she said, her voice now penitent and overlaid with tears. "Of course you're right. So sorry. I'm just a stupid woman."
"I agree. Stupid to oppose Ishido in his own nest, ne?"
"Yes, so sorry. Please excuse me. May I offer you sake or cha?"
Mariko clapped her hands. At once the inner door opened and Chimoko appeared, her hair disheveled, her face frightened and puffed from weeping.
"Bring cha and sake for my guests, and food, and make yourself presentable. How dare you appear like that? What do you think this is, a peasant cottage? You shame me before Lord Kashiki."
Chimoko fled in tears.
"So sorry, sire. Please excuse her insolence."
"Eh? That's unimportant, eh? What about Ishido? Eh, lady? Your shaft about peasant, that hit the mark. That hurt the mighty Lord General. You've made such an enemy there now. Eh, that took his fruit and squeezed them before everyone."
"Oh, do you think so? Oh, please excuse me. I didn't mean to insult him."
"Eh? He is a peasant, always has been, always will be. And he's always hated those of us who are real samurai."
"Oh, how clever of you, Lord, to know that. Oh, thank you for telling me.
Mariko bowed and appeared to brush away a tear, and added,
May I please say that I feel so protected now? Your strength. If it hadn't been for you, Lord Kashiki, I think I would have fainted.
Stupid to attack Ishido in front of everyone,
Yabu said, slightly mollified.
Yes, you're right. It's such a pity all our leaders aren't as strong and as clever as you, sire. Then Lord Toranaga wouldn't be in such trouble.
I agree. But you still put us into a latrine up to our noses.
Please excuse me. Yes, it's all my fault.
Mariko pretended to hold back tears bravely. She looked down and whispered,
Thank you, sire, for accepting my apologies. You're so generous.
Yabu nodded, believing the praise merited, her civility necessary, and himself peerless. She apologized again, and soothed and cajoled him. Soon he was pliant.
May I please explain my stupidity to the Anjin-san? Perhaps he can suggest a way out of...
She let her words fade away penitently.
Yes, very well.
Mariko bowed her grateful thanks, turned to Blackthorn, and spoke in Portuguese.
Please listen, Anjin-san. Listen, and don't ask questions for the moment. So sorry, but first I had to calm this ill-tempered bastard. Is that how you say it?
Quickly she told him what had been said, and why Ochiba had hurried off.
That's bad, he said, his search gazing her. Nay?
Yes. Lord Yabu asks for your counsel. What should be done to overcome the mess my stupidities put you both into?
What stupidity?
Blackthorn was watching her, and her disquiet increased. She looked down at the mats. He spoke directly to Yabu.
Don't know yet, sire. Now understand. Now think.
Yabu replied sourly,
What's there to think about? We're locked in.
Mariko translated without looking up.
That's true, isn't it, Mariko-san?
Blackthorn said.
That's always been true.
Yes, so sorry.
He turned away to stare into the night. Flares were placed in brackets on the stone walls that surrounded the front garden. Light flickered off the leaves and plants that had been watered for just that purpose. Westward was the iron-banded gate, guarded by a few browns.
Thou,
she heard him say, without turning back.
I must speak with thee in private.
Thou, yes, and I to thee, she replied, keeping her face from Yabu, also not trusting herself. Tonight I will find thee.
She looked up at Yabu.
The Anjin-san agrees with you, sire, about my stupidity. So sorry.
But what's the good of that now?
Anjin-san,
she said, her voice matter-of-fact.
Later tonight, I'm going to Kiritsubo-san. I know where your quarters are. I'll find you.
Yes. Thank you.
He still kept his back to her.
Yabu-sama,
she said humbly.
Tonight, I'm going to Kiritsubo-san. She's wise. Perhaps she'll have a solution.
There's only one solution,
Yabu said with a finality that unnerved her, his eyes cold.
Tomorrow you will apologize, and you will stay.
Kiyama arrived punctually. Tsurugi was with him, and her heart sank. When the formal greetings were completed, Kiyama said gravely,
Now, please explain why, Mariko-chan.
There's no war, sire. We shouldn't be confined, nor treated as hostages, so I can go as I please.
You don't have to be at war to have hostages. You know that. The Lady Ochiba was hostage in Edo against your master's safety here, and no one was at war. Lord Sugara and his family are hostage with his brother today, and they're not at war, eh?
She kept her eyes lowered.
There are many here who are hostages against the dutiful obedience of their lords to the Council of Regents, the legal rulers of the realm. That's wise. It's an ordinary custom, eh?
Yes, sire.
Good. Now, please tell me the real reason.
Sire?
Kiyama said testily,
Don't play games with me. I'm no peasant either. I want to know why you did what you did tonight.
Mariko raised her eyes.
So sorry, but the Lord General simply annoyed me with his arrogance, sire. I do have orders. There's no harm in taking Kiri and Lady Sezuko away for a few days to meet our master.
You know very well that's impossible. Lord Toranaga must know that as well.
So sorry, but my master gave me orders. A samurai doesn't question his lord's orders.
Yes, but I question them because they're nonsense. Your master doesn't deal in nonsense or make mistakes. And I insist I have the right to question you as well.
Please excuse me, sire. There's nothing to discuss.
But there is. There's Saruji to discuss. Also the fact that I've known you all your life, have honored you all your life. Hiromatsu-sama is my oldest living friend, and your father was a cherished friend and an honored ally of mine until the last 14 days of his life.
A samurai doesn't question the orders of a liege lord.
Now you can do only one of two things, Mariko-chan. You apologize and stay, or you try to leave. If you try to leave, you will be stopped.
Yes, I understand.
You will apologize tomorrow. I will call a meeting of the regents, and they will give a ruling about this whole matter. Then you will be allowed to go with Kiritsubo and the Lady Sezuko.
Please excuse me. How long will that take?
I don't know. A few days.
So sorry. I don't have a few days. I'm ordered to leave at once.
Look at me!
She obeyed.
I, Kiyama Okono Donaga, Lord of Higo, Satsuma, and Osumi, a regent of Japan from the line Hujimoto, chief Christian daimyo of Japan, I ask you to stay.
So sorry. My liege lord forbids me to stay.
Don't you understand what I'm telling you?
Yes, sire, but I have no choice. Please excuse me.
He motioned toward her son.
The betrothal between my granddaughter and Saruji. I can hardly allow this to go forward if you're disgraced.
Yes. Yes, sire,
Mariko replied, misery in her eyes.
I understand that.
She saw the desperation in the boy.
So sorry, my son, but I must do my duty.
Saruji started to say something, but changed his mind, and then after a moment he said,
Please excuse me, mother, but isn't your duty to the heir more important than your duty to Lord Toranaga? The heirs are real liege lord, ne?
She thought about that.
Yes, my son. And no. Lord Toranaga has jurisdiction over me. The heir does not. Then doesn't that mean Lord Toranaga has jurisdiction over the heir too? No. So sorry. Please excuse me, mother. I don't understand. But it seems to me if the heir gives an order, he must overrule our Lord Toranaga.
She did not reply.
Answer him!
Kiyama barked.
Was that your thought, my son? Or did someone put it into your head?
Saruji frowned, trying to remember.
We, Lord Kiyama and his lady, we discussed it. And the father visitor. I don't remember. I think I thought of it myself. The father visitor said I was correct, didn't he, sire?
He said the heir is more important than Lord Toranaga in the realm. Legally. Please answer him directly, Mariko-san.
Mariko said,
If the heir was a man, of age, Kanpaku, legal ruler of this realm like the Taiko, his father was, then I would obey him over Lord Toranaga in this. But Yeemon's a child, actually and legally, and therefore not capable. Legally. Does that answer you? But he's still the heir, ne? The regents listen to him. Lord Toranaga honors him. What's a year, a few years mean, mother? If you don't Please excuse me, but I'm afraid for you.
The youth's mouth was trembling. Mariko wanted to reach out and embrace him and protect him, but she did not.
I'm not afraid, my son. I fear nothing on this earth. I fear only God's judgment,
she said, turning to Kiyama.
Yes, Kiyama said. I know that. May the Madonna bless you for it.
He paused.
Mariko-san, will you apologize publicly to the Lord General?
Yes, gladly, providing he publicly withdraws all troops from my path and gives me, the Lady Kiritsubo, and the Lady Sazuko, written permission to leave tomorrow.
Will you obey an order from the regents?
Please excuse me, sire. In this matter, no.
Will you honor a request from them?
Please excuse me. In this matter, no.
Will you agree to a request from the heir and the Lady Ochiba?
Please excuse me. What request?
To visit them, to stay with them for a few days while we resolve this affair.
Please excuse me, sire, but what is there to resolve?
Kiyama's restraint broke, and he shouted,
The future and good order of the realm for one thing, the future of the Mother Church for another, and you for another. It's clear your close contact with the barbarian has infected you and addled your brain as I knew it would.
Mariko said nothing, just stared back at him. With an effort, Kiyama brought himself back into control.
Please excuse my temper and my bad manners, he said stiffly. My only excuse is that I'm gravely concerned.
He bowed with dignity.
I apologize.
It was my fault, sire. Please excuse me for destroying your harmony and causing you trouble. But I have no alternative.
Your son's given you one. I've given you several.
She did not answer him. The air in the room had become stifling for all of them, although the night was cool and a breeze fanned the flares.
You're resolved, then?
I have no choice, sir.
Very well, Mariko-san. There's nothing more to be said. Other than to say again, I order you not to force the issue. And I ask it.
She bowed her head.
Tsurugi-san, please wait for me outside,
Kiyama ordered. The youth was distraught, barely able to speak.
Yes, sire.
He bowed to Mariko.
Please excuse me, mother. May God keep you in his hands for all eternity. And thou.
Amen to that, Kiyama said.
Good night, my son. Good night, mother.
When they were alone, Kiyama said,
The father visitor's very worried.
About me, sire?
Yes, and about the Holy Church, and the barbarian, and about the barbarian ship. First tell me about him.
He's a unique man, very strong and very intelligent. At sea, he belongs there. He seems to become part of a ship and the sea. And out to sea, there's no man who can approach him in bravery and cunning.
Even the Rodriguez-san?
The Anjin-san overcame him twice, once here and once on our way to Edo.
She told him about Rodriguez arriving in the night during their stay near Mishima, and about the concealed weapons and all that she had overheard.
If their ships were equal, the Anjin-san would win. Even if they were not, I think he'd win.
Tell me about his ship.
She obeyed.
Tell me about his vassals.
She told him as it had happened.
Why would Lord Toranaga give him his ship, money, vassals, and freedom?
My master never told me, sire.
Please give me your opinion.
So that he can loose the Anjin-san against his enemies,
Mariko said at once.
Then added without apology, Since you ask me, in this case, the Anjin-san's particular enemies are the same as my lord's. The Portuguese, the Holy Fathers prompting the Portuguese, and the lords Harima, Onoshi, and yourself, sire.
Why should the Anjin-san consider us his special enemies?
Nagasaki, trade, and your coastal control of Kyushu, sire. And because you are the chief Catholic daimyo.
The Church isn't Lord Toranaga's enemy, nor the Holy Father's.
So sorry, but I think Lord Toranaga believes the Holy Fathers support the Lord General Ishido, as you do.
I support the heir. I'm against your master because he does not, and he will ruin our church.
I'm sorry, but that's not true. Sire, my master's so superior to the Lord General. You fought 20 more times as his ally than against him. You know he can be trusted. Why side with his avowed enemy? Lord Toranaga's always wanted trade, and he's simply not anti-Christian like the Lord General and the Lady Ochiba.
Please excuse me, Mariko-san, but before God, I believe Lord Toranaga secretly detests our Christian faith, secretly loathes our church, and secretly is committed to destroying the succession and obliterating the heir and the Lady Ochiba. His lodestone is the shogunate. Only that. He secretly wants to be shogun, is planning to become shogun, and everything is pointed to that sole end.
Before God, sire, I do not believe it.
I know, but that doesn't make you right.
He watched her a moment, then said,
By your own admission, this Anjin-san and his ship are very dangerous to the church, ne? The Rodriguez agrees with you that if the Anjin-san caught the black ship at sea, it would be very bad.
Yes, I believe that too, sire.
That would hurt our mother church very much, ne?
Yes.
But you still won't help the church against this man?
He is not against the church, sire. Not really against the fathers, though he distrusts them. He's only against the enemies of his queen. And the black ship is his goal, for profit.
But he opposes the true faith, and is therefore a heretic, ne?
Yes. But I don't believe everything we've been told by the fathers is true. And much has never been told to us. Tsuku-san admitted many things. My liege lord ordered me to become the Anjin-san's confidant and friend, to teach him our language and customs, to learn from him what could be of value to us. And I've found...
You mean valuable to Toranaga, ne?
Sire, obedience to a liege lord is the pinnacle of a samurai's life. Isn't obedience what you require from all your vassals?
Yes, but heresy is terrible, and it seems you are allied with a barbarian against your church and infected by him. I pray God will open your eyes, Mariko-san, before you lose your own salvation. Now, last, the Father Visitor said you have some private information for me.
Sire?
This was completely unexpected.
He said there was a message from the Tsuku-san a few days ago. A special messenger from Edo. You have some information about my allies.
I asked to see the Father Visitor tomorrow morning.
Yes, he told me.
Well? Please excuse me. After I've seen him tomorrow,
Not tomorrow! Now! The Father Visitor said it had to do with Lord Onoshi and concerned the church. And you were to tell me at once. Before God, that's what he said. Have things come to such a filthy pass that you won't even trust me?
So sorry. I made an agreement with the Tsuku-san. He asked me to speak openly to the Father Visitor. That's all, sire.
The Father Visitor said you were to tell me now.
Mariko realized she had no alternative. The die was cast. She told him about the plot against his life, all that she knew. He, too, scoffed at the rumor until she told him exactly where the information had come from.
His confessor? Him?
Yes. So sorry.
I regret Uraga's dead,
Kiyama said, even more mortified that the night attack on the Anjin-san had been such a fiasco, as the other ambush had been, and now had killed the one man who could prove his enemy Onoshi was a traitor.
Uraga will burn in hellfire forever for that sacrilege. Terrible what he did. He deserves excommunication and hellfire. But even so, he did me a service by telling it. If it's true.
Kiyama looked at her, an old man suddenly.
I can't believe Onoshi would do that. Or that Lord Harima would be a party to it.
Yes. Could you ask Lord Harima if it's true?
Yes, but he'd never reveal something like that. I wouldn't, would you? So sad, ne? So terrible are the ways of man.
Yes.
I will not believe it, Mariko-san. Uraga's dead, so we can never get proof. I will take precautions, but I cannot believe it.
Yes. One thought, sire. Isn't it very strange, the Lord General putting a guard on the Anjin-san?
Why strange?
Why protect him, when he detests him? Very strange, ne? Could it be that now the Lord General also sees the Anjin-san as a possible weapon against the Catholic daimyos?
I don't follow you.
If, God forbid, you died, sire, Lord Onoshi becomes supreme in Kyushu, ne? What could the Lord General do to curb Onoshi? Nothing. Except perhaps use the Anjin-san.
It's possible, Kiyama said slowly.
There's only one reason to protect the Anjin-san. To use him. Where? Only against the Portuguese. And thus the Kyushu Christian daimyos. Ne?
It's possible.
I believe the Anjin-san's as valuable to you as to Onoshi, or Ishido, or my master. Alive. His knowledge is enormous. Only knowledge can protect us from barbarians. Even Portuguese.
Kiyama said scornfully,
We can crush them, expel them any time we like. They're gnats on a horse, nothing more.
If the Holy Mother Church conquers, and all the land becomes Christian, as we pray it will, what then? Will our laws survive? Will Bushido survive? Against the commandments? I suggest it won't, like elsewhere in the Catholic world. Not when the Holy Fathers are supreme. Not unless we are prepared.
He did not answer her. Then she said,
Sire, I beg you, ask the Anjin-san what has happened elsewhere in the world.
I will not. I think he's bewitched you, Mariko-san. I believe the Holy Fathers. I think your Anjin-san is taught by Satan, and I beg you to realize his heresy has already infected you. 3 times you used Catholic when you meant Christian. Doesn't that imply you agree with him? There are 2 faiths? 2 equally true versions of the true faith? Isn't your threat tonight a knife in the belly of the heir? And against the interests of the church?
He got up.
Thank you for your information. Go with God.
Mariko took a small thin sealed scroll of paper from her sleeve.
Lord Toranaga asked me to give you this.
Hiyama looked at the unbroken seal.
Do you know what's in it, Mariko-san?
Yes. I was ordered to destroy it and pass on the message verbally. If I was intercepted.
Kiyama broke the seal. The message reiterated Toranaga's wish for peace between them, his complete support of the heir and the succession, and briefly gave the information about Onoshi. It ended,
I don't have proof about Lord Onoshi, but Uraga no Tadasima will have that, and deliberately. He has been made available to you in Osaka for questioning, if you wish. However, I do have proof that Ishido has also betrayed the secret agreement between you and him, giving the Kanto to your descendants, once I am dead. The Kanto has been secretly promised to my brother, Sataki, in return for betraying me, as he has already done. Please excuse me, old comrade, but you have been betrayed too. Once I am dead, you and your line will be isolated and destroyed. As will the whole Christian church. I beg you to reconsider. Soon you will have proof of my sincerity.
Kiyama reread the message, and she watched him, as she had been ordered.
Watch him so carefully, Mariko-san,
Toranaga had told her.
I'm not sure of his agreement with Ishido about the Kanto. Spies have reported it, but I'm not sure. You'll know from what he does, or doesn't do, if you give him the message at the right time.
She had seen Kiyama react.
So that's also true, she thought.
The old daimyo looked up and said flatly,
"And you are the proof of his sincerity, ne? The burnt offering? The sacrificial lamb?"
"No, sir."
"I don't believe you. And I don't believe him. The Onoshi treason, perhaps. But the rest? Lord Torunaga's just up to his old tricks of mixing half-truths and honey and poison. I'm afraid it's you who've been betrayed, Mariko-san."
Chapter 54.
"We'll leave at noon."
"No, Mariko-san."
Lady Sazuka was almost in tears.
"Yes,"
Kiri said.
"Yes, we'll leave as you say."
"But they'll stop us,"
the young girl burst out.
"It's all so useless."
"No,"
Mariko told her.
"You're wrong, Sazuko-chan. It's very necessary."
Kiri said,
"Mariko-san's right. We have orders."
She suggested details of their leaving.
"We could easily be ready by dawn, if you want."
"Noon is when we should leave. That's when he said, Kiri-chan,"
Mariko replied.
"We'll need very few things, ne?"
"Yes,"
Sazuko said.
"Very few. So sorry, but it's all so silly. They'll stop us."
"Perhaps they won't, child,"
Kiri said.
"Mariko says they'll let us go. Lord Torunaga thinks they'll let us go. So presume that they will. Go and rest. Go on. I must talk to Mariko-san."
The girl went away, greatly troubled. Kiri folded her hands.
"Yes, Mariko-san?" "I'm sending a cipher by carrier pigeon, telling Lord Torunaga what happened tonight. It will go at first light. Ishido's men will certainly try to destroy the rest of my carrier birds tomorrow, if there's trouble, and I can't bring them here. Is there any message you want to send at once?"
"Yes, I'll write it now. What do you think's going to happen?"
"Lord Taranaga's sure they'll let us go, if I'm strong."
"I don't agree. And, please excuse me, I don't think you put much faith in the attempt either."
"You're wrong. Oh, of course they may stop us tomorrow. And if they do, there'll be the most terrible quarrel and threats. But they'll all mean nothing."
Mariko laughed.
"Oh, such threats, Kiri-san. And they'll go on all day and all night. But at noon the next day, we'll be allowed to go."
Kiri shook her head.
"If we're allowed to escape, every other hostage in Osaka will leave too. Ishido will be weakened badly, and he'll lose face. He can't afford that."
"Yes."
Mariko was very satisfied.
"Even so, he's trapped."
Kiri watched her.
"In 18 days, our master'll be here, ne? He must be here."
"Yes."
"So sorry. Then why is it so important for us to leave at once?"
"He thinks it important enough, Kiri-san. Enough to order it."
"Ah, then he has a plan?"
"Doesn't he always have many plans?
Once the Exalted One agreed to be present, then our master was trapped, ne?"
"Yes."
Kiri glanced at the shoji door. It was closed. She leaned forward and said softly,
"Then why did he ask me secretly to put that thought into the Lady Ochiba's head?"
Mariko's confidence began to fade.
"He told you to do that?"
"Yes, from Yokose, after he'd seen Lord Zataki for the first time. Why did he spring the trap himself?"
"I don't know."
Kiri bit her lips.
"I wish I knew. We'll soon know. But I don't think you're telling me everything you know, Mariko-chan."
Mariko began to bridle, but Kiri touched her, again cautioning her to silence, and whispered,
"His dispatch to me told me to trust you completely. So let's say no more than that. I do trust you, Mariko-chan, but that doesn't stop my mind from working, ne?
Please excuse me."
"I'm so proud of you,"
Kiri said in a normal voice.
"Yes, standing up like that to Ishido and all of them. I wish I had your courage."
"It is easy for me. Our master said we were to leave.
It's very dangerous, what we do, I think. Even so, how can I help?
Give me your support.
You have that. You've always had that.
I'll stay here with you till dawn, Kiri. But first I have to talk to the Anjin-san.
Yes, I'd better go with you.
The two women left Kiri's apartments, an escort of Browns with them, passing other Browns who bowed, clearly enormously proud of Mariko. Kiri led down corridors across the expanse of the great audience room and into the corridor beyond. Browns were on guard there, and Greys. When they saw Mariko, all bowed, Browns and Greys equally honoring her. Both Kiri and Mariko were taken aback to find Greys in their domain. They hid their discomfiture and said nothing. Kiri motioned at a door.
Anjin-san,
Mariko called out.
Hi!
The door opened. Blackthorn stood there. Behind him in the room were two more Greys.
Hello, Mariko-san.
Hello.
Mariko glanced at the Greys.
I have to talk to the Anjin-san privately.
Please talk to him, lady,
their captain said with great deference.
Unfortunately, we are ordered by Lord Ishido personally on pain of immediate death not to leave him alone.
Yoshinaka, tonight's officer of the watch, strode up.
Excuse me, Lady Toda. I had to agree to these 20 guards for the Anjin-san. It was Lord Ishido's personal request. So sorry.
As Lord Ishido is only concerned with the Anjin-san's safety, they're welcome, she said,
not at all pleased inside. Yoshinaka said to the captain of the Greys,
I will be responsible for him while the Lady Toda's with him. You can wait outside. So sorry,
this samurai said firmly.
I and my men have no alternative but to watch with our own eyes.
Kiri said, I will be glad to stay. Of course, someone's necessary.
So sorry, Kiritsubo-san. We must be present. Please excuse me, Lady Toda.
The captain continued uncomfortably.
But none of us speaks the barbarian.
No one suggests you would be so impolite as to listen, said Mariko, near anger. But barbarian customs are different from ours.
Yoshinaka said,
Obviously, the Greys must obey their lord. You were totally correct tonight that a samurai's first duty is to his liege lord, Lady Toda. And totally correct to point it out in public. Perfectly correct, lady.
The captain of the Greys agreed with the same measure of pride.
There's no other reason for a samurai's life, ne?
Thank you,
she said, warmed by their respect.
We should also honor the Anjin-san's customs if we can, captain,
Yoshinaka said.
Perhaps I have a solution. Please follow me.
He led the way back to the audience room.
Please, lady, would you take the Anjin-san and sit there?
He pointed to the far dais.
The Anjin-san's guards can stay by the doors and do their duty to their liege lord. We can do ours, and you may talk as you wish, according to the Anjin-san's customs. Ne?
Mariko explained to Blackthorn what Yoshinaka had said, then continued prudently in Latin.
They will never leave thee tonight. We have no alternative, except I can order them killed at once, if that is thy wish.
My wish is to talk to thee privately, Blackthorn replied, but not at the cost of lives.
I thank thee for asking me. Mariko turned to Yoshinaka.
Very well. Thank you, Yoshinaka-san. Would you please send someone for incense braziers to keep away the mosquitoes?
Of course. Please excuse me, lady. Is there any further news of the Lady Yodoko?
No, Yoshinaka-san. We heard she's still resting easily, without pain.
Mariko smiled at Blackthorn.
Shall we go and sit there, Anjin-san?
He followed her. Kiri went back to her own quarters, and the Greys stood at the doors of the audience room. The captain of the Greys was near Yoshinaka, a few paces away from the others.
I don't like this!
He whispered roughly.
Is the Lady Toda going to pull out his sword and kill him? No offence, but where are your wits?
Yoshinaka limped away to check the other posts. The captain looked at the dais. Mariko and the Anjin-san were seated opposite each other, well lit by flares. He could not hear what they were saying. He focused on their lips, but was still no wiser, though his eyes were very good, and he could speak Portuguese.
"I suppose they're talking the Holy Father's language again," he told himself. "Hideous language. Impossible to learn. Still, what does it matter? Why shouldn't she talk to the heretic in private, if that's her pleasure? Neither are long for this earth. So very sad. Oh, blessed Madonna, take her forever into thy keeping for her bravery."
"Latin is safer, Anjinsan."
Her fan sent a droning mosquito skittering.
"They can hear us from here?"
"No, I do not believe so. Not if we keep our voices softened and talk as thou hast taught me, with so little movement of the mouth."
"Good. What occurred with Kiyama?"
"I love thee."
"Thou?"
"I have missed thee."
"And I thee. How can we meet alone?"
"Tonight it is not possible. Tomorrow night will be possible, my love. I have a plan."
"Tomorrow? But what about thy departure?"
"Tomorrow they may stop me, Anjinsan. Please do not worry. The next day we will all be free to leave as we wish. Tomorrow night, if I am stopped, I will be with thee."
"How?"
"Kiri will help me. Do not ask me how, or what, or why. It will be easy."
She stopped as maids brought the little braziers. Soon the curling threads of smoke repelled the night creatures. When they were safe again, they talked about their journey, content just being together, loving without touching, always skirting Torunaga and the importance of tomorrow. Then he said,
"Ishido's my enemy. Why are there so many guards around me?"
"To protect thee, but also to hold thee tight. I think Ishido might also want to use thee against the Black Ship, and Nagasaki, and the Lord Kiyama, and Lord Onoshi."
"Ah, yes. I had thought that, too."
She saw his eyes searching her.
"What is it, Anjinsan?"
"Contrary to what Yabu believes, I believe thou art not stupid, that everything tonight was said deliberately, planned deliberately, on Torunaga's orders."
She smoothed a crease in her brocade kimono.
"He gave me orders? Yes."
Blackthorn turned to Portuguese.
"He's betrayed you. You're a decoy. Do you know that? You're just bait for one of his traps."
"Why do you say that?"
"You're the bait. So am I. It's obvious, isn't it? Yabu's bait. Torunaga sent us all here as a sacrifice."
"No, you're wrong, Anjinsan. So sorry, but you're wrong."
In Latin, he said,
"I tell thee that thou art beautiful, and I love thee, but thou art a liar."
"No one has ever said that to me before."
"Thou hast also said, no one ever said, I love thee before."
She looked down at her fan.
"Let us talk of other things."
"What does Torunaga gain by sacrificing us?"
She did not answer.
"Mariko-san, I have the right to ask thee. I'm not afraid. I just want to know what he gains."
"I don't know."
"Thou, swear by thy love and thy God."
"Even thee?"
she replied bitterly in Latin.
"Thou also with thy swear before God, and questions and questions and questions."
"It is thy life and my life, and I cherish both. Again, what does he gain?"
Her voice became louder.
"Listen, thou, yes, I chose the time, and yes, I am not a stupid woman, and—"
"Be cautious, Mariko-chan. Please keep thy voice down, or that would be very stupid."
"So sorry. Yes, it was done deliberately, and in public, as Torunaga wished."
"Why?"
"Because Ishido's a peasant, and he must let us go. The challenge had to be before his peers. The Lady Ochiba approves our going to meet Lord Torunaga. I talked to her, and she is not opposed. There's nothing to trouble thyself about."
"I do not like to see fire in thee, or venom, or crossness. Where is thy tranquility, and where are thy manners? Perhaps thou should learn to watch the rocks growing, eh?
Mariko's anger vanished, and she laughed.
Ah, thee! Thou art right. Please forgive me.
She felt refreshed, herself again.
Oh, how I love thee, and honour thee. And I was so proud of thee tonight. I almost kissed thee, there in front of them, as is thy custom.
Madonna, that would have set fire in their tinderbox, isn't it?
If I were alone with thee, I would kiss thee until thy cries for mercy fill the universe.
I thank thee, lady, but thou art there, and I am here, and the world's between us.
Ah, but there's no world between us. My life is full because of thee.
In a moment he said,
And Yabu's orders to you? To apologize and stay?
They may not be obeyed. So sorry.
Because of Torunaga's orders?
Yes, but not his orders truly. It is also my wish. All this was my suggestion to him. It is I who begged to be allowed to come here, my darling. Before God, that is the truth.
What will happen tomorrow?
She told him what she had told Kiri, adding,
Everything is going to be better than planned. Isn't Ishido already thy patron? I swear I do not know how Lord Torunaga can be so clever. Before I left, he told me that would happen, might happen. He knew that Yabu has no power in Kyushu. Only Ishido or Kiyama could protect thee there. We are not decoys. We are in his protection. We're quite safe.
What about the 19 days? 18 now. Torunaga must be here, eh?
Yes.
Then isn't this, as Ishido says, a waste of time?
Truly, I don't know. I only know that 19, 18, or even 3 days can be an eternity.
Or tomorrow?
Tomorrow also. Or the next day.
And if Ishido will not let thee go tomorrow?
This is the only chance we have. All of us. Ishido must be humbled.
Thou art certain?
Yes, before God, Anjin-san.
Blackthorn clawed out of a nightmare again, but the moment he was truly awake, the dream vanished. Greys were staring at him through the mosquito net in the light of early dawn.
Good morning, he said to them, hating to have been watched while he slept.
He came from under the net and went out into the corridor, down staircases, until he came to the garden toilet. Guards, both Browns and Greys, accompanied him. He hardly noticed them. The dawn was smoky. The sky to the east was already burnt clean of the haze. The air smelled salt and wet from the sea. Flies already swarmed.
It'll be hot today, he thought.
Footsteps approached. Through the door opening, he saw Chimoko. She waited patiently, chatting with the guards, and when he came out, she bowed and greeted him.
Where Mariko-san? He asked.
With Kiritsubo-san, Anjin-san.
Thank you. When leave?
Soon, sire.
Say to Mariko-san like say good morning before leave.
He said it again, although Mariko had already promised to find him before she went back to her home to collect her belongings.
Yes, Anjin-san.
He nodded, as a samurai should, and left her and went to wash and bathe. It was not custom to have a hot bath in the morning, but every morning he would always go there and pour cold water all over himself.
Eee! Anjin-san!
His guards or watchers would always say.
That surely is most very good for your health.
He dressed and went to the battlements that overlooked the forecourt of this castle wing. He wore a brown kimono and swords, his pistol concealed under his sash. Browns on sentry duty welcomed him as one of them, though very disquieted by his greys. Other greys teamed on the battlements opposite, overlooking them, and outside their gate.
Many greys, many more than usual. Understand, Anjin-san?
Yoshinika said, coming out onto the balcony.
Yes.
The captain of the Greys moved up to them.
Please don't go too near the edge, Anjin-san. So sorry.
The sun was on the horizon. Its warmth felt good on Blackthorn's skin. There were no clouds in the sky, and the breeze was dying. The captain of the Greys pointed at Blackthorn's sword.
Is that oil cellar, Anginson?
Yes, Captain.
May I be allowed to see the blade?
Blackthorn drew the sword partway from its scabbard. Custom decreed a sword should not be totally drawn unless it was to be used.
Eee! Beautiful, ne?
The captain said. The others, Browns and Greys, crowded round, equally impressed. Blackthorn shoved the sword back, not displeased.
Honour to wear oil cellar. Can you use a sword, Anginson?
The captain asked.
No, Captain, not as samurai, but I learn.
Ah, yes, that's very good.
In the forecourt 2 stories below, Browns were exercising, still in shadow. Blackthorn watched them.
How many samurai here, Yoshinaka-san?
403, Anjin-san, including 200 that came with me.
And out there?
Greys?
Yoshinaka laughed.
Lots! Very many!
The Greys captain showed his teeth with his grin.
Almost 100,000. You understand, Anjin-san? 100,000?
Yes, thank you.
They all looked away as a phalanx of porters and pack horses and 3 palanquins rounded the far corner and approached under guard from the end of the access to this cul-de-sac. The avenue was still deeply shadowed and dark between the tall, guarded walls. Flares still burned in wall sockets. Even from this distance, they could see the nervousness of the porters. Greys across from them seemed more hushed and attentive, and so did the Browns on guard. The tall gates opened to admit the party. Their escorting Greys staying outside with their comrades, then closed again. The great iron bar clanged back into the large brackets that were set deep into the granite walls. No portcullis guarded this gateway.
Yoshinaka said, Anjin-san, please excuse me. I must see all is well. Already, ne?
I wait here.
Yes.
Yoshinaka left. The Greys captain went to the parapet and watched below.
Christ Jesus,
Blackthorn was thinking.
I hope she's right, and Toranaga's right. Not long now, eh?
He measured the sun and muttered vaguely to himself in Portuguese.
Not long to go.
Unconsciously, the captain grunted his agreement, and Blackthorn realized the man understood him clearly, in Portuguese, was therefore Catholic, and another possible assassin. His mind rushed back to last night, and he remembered that everything he had said to Mariko had been in Latin.
Was it all in Latin? Mother of God, what about her saying, I can order them killed? Was that in Latin? Does he speak Latin too, like that other captain, the one who was killed during the first escape from Osaka?
The sun was gathering strength now, and Blackthorn took his eyes off the captain of Greys.
If you didn't murder me in the night, maybe you'll never do it, he thought,
putting this Catholic into a compartment. He saw Kiri come out into the forecourt below. She was supervising maids bearing panniers and chests for the pack horses. She looked tiny, standing on the main steps where Suzuko had pretended to slip, initiating Torunaga's escape. Just to the north was the lovely garden and tiny rustic house where he'd first seen Mariko and Yemon, the heir. His mind journeyed with the noon cortege out of the castle, curling through the maze, then safely out, through the woods, and down to the sea. He prayed that she would be safe, and everyone safe. Once they were away, Yabu and he would leave and go to the galley and out to sea. From here on the battlements, the sea seemed so near. The sea beckoned, and the horizon.
Konbanwa, Anjin-san.
Mariko-san.
She was as radiant as ever.
Konbanwa,
he said, then in Latin, nonchalantly.
Beware of this grey man. He understands.
Continuing instantly in Portuguese to give her time to cover.
Yes, I don't understand how you can be so beautiful after so little sleep.
He took her arm and put her back to the captain, guiding her nearer the parapet.
Look, there's Kiritsubo-san.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, I'm... Thank you.
Why don't you wave to Kiritsubo-san?
She did as she was asked and called out her name. Kiri saw them and waved back. After a moment, relaxed again and in control, Mariko said,
Thank you, Anjin-san. You're very clever and very wise.
She greeted the captain casually and wandered to a ledge and sat down, first making sure that the seat was clean.
It's going to be a fine day, ne?
Yes. How did you sleep?
I didn't, Anjin-san. Kiri and I chatted the last of the night away, and I saw the dawn come. I love dawns. You?
My rest was disturbed, but...
Oh, so sorry.
I'm fine now, really. You're leaving now?
Yes, but I'll be back at noon to collect Kiri-san and the Lady Sazuko.
She turned her face away from the captain and said in Latin,
Thou, remember the Inn of the Blossoms?
Assuredly. How could I forget?
If there is a delay, tonight will be thus, as perfect and as peace-filled.
Ah, that could be possible. But I would prefer thee safely on thy way.
Mariko continued in Portuguese.
Now I must go, Anjin-san. You will please excuse me?
I'll take you to the gate.
No, please. Watch me from here. You and the captain can watch from here, eh?
Of course, Blackthorn said at once, understanding. Go with God.
And thee?
He stayed on the parapet. While he waited, sunlight fell into the forecourt, thrusting the shadows away. Mariko appeared below. He saw her greet Kiri and Yoshinika, and they chatted together, no enemy greys near them. Then they bowed. She looked up at him, shading her eyes, and waved gaily. He waved back. The gates were pushed aside, and with Chimoko a few discreet paces behind her, she walked out, accompanied by her escort of 10 Browns. The gates swung closed once more. For a moment, she was lost from view. When she reappeared, 50 greys from the swarm outside their walls had surrounded them as a further honor guard. The cortege marched away down the sunless avenue. He watched her until she had turned the far corner. She never looked back.
Go eat now, Captain, he said.
Yes, of course, Anjin-san.
Blackthorn went to his own quarters and ate rice, pickled vegetables, and broiled chunks of fish, followed by early fruit from Kyushu. Crisp small apples, apricots, and hard flesh plums. He savored the tart fruit and the char.
More, Anjin-san?
The servant asked.
No, thank you.
He offered fruits to his guards, and they were accepted gratefully. And when they had finished, he went back to the sunny battlements again. He would have liked to examine the priming of his concealed pistol, but he thought it better not to draw attention to it. He had checked it once in the night as best he could under the sheet, under the mosquito net. But without actually seeing, he could not be sure of the tamping or the flint.
There's nothing more you can do, he thought. You're a puppet. Be patient, Anjin-san. Your watch ends at noon.
He gauged the height of the sun.
It will be the beginning of the 2-hour period of the snake. After the snake comes the horse. In the middle of the horse is high noon.
Temple bells throughout the castle and the city told the beginning of the snake, and he was pleased with his accuracy. He noticed a small stone on the battlement floor. He went forward and picked up the stone, and placed it carefully on a ledge of an embrasure in the sun, then leaned back once more, propping his feet comfortably, and stared at it. Greys were watching his every movement. The captain frowned. After a while, he said,
Anjin-san, what's the significance of the stone?
Please?
The stone. Why stone, Anjin-san?
Ah, I watch stone grow.
Oh, so sorry. I understand,
the captain replied apologetically.
Please excuse me for disturbing you.
Blackthorn laughed to himself and turned his gaze back to the stone.
Grow, you bastard, he said.
But as much as he cursed it, ordered it, or cajoled it, it would not grow.
Do you really expect to see a rock growing?
He asked himself.
No, of course not. But it passes the time and promotes tranquility. You can't have enough war, ne? Where's the next attack coming from? There's no defense against an assassin if the assassin is prepared to die. Is